Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Cambridgeshire's new Deputy Chief Constable, Jane Guyford, has begun her role. Mrs. Guyford, who was previously responsible for operational policing and security in the City of London, she succeeds DCC Alan Baldwin, who will retire from the force after 3 years. I spoke to her a little earlier.
You previously worked, as I understand it, in the City of London, and I kind of sense that means a different type of policing to what's needed in Cambridge, or does it?
Well, I worked in the City of London Police and also the Metropolitan Police. So, if you like, you can take the two forces as a composite position for London. Yes, it's very different. Cambridgeshire Police and the county in general is really diverse. You've got cities, you've got towns, you've got suburbs, you've got agricultural land. The approach to policing doesn't necessarily vary, but we have to be cognizant of the needs of the community, which is very different in county policing. It doesn't mean to say that I can't bring my experience and knowledge of policing in general and help the county protect the communities, understand the communities, and take it forward into the future.
And specifically, what are the particular threats to us in the Cambridge 105 radio area, really, of the City of Cambridge itself and South Cambridgeshire?
Without setting the hairs running, because I think the word threat can do that, the landscape of policing must take into consideration larger cities and places where you would have essentially members of the public, and of course the protective security measures that we see and some of the tactics policing use protect the public by doing that. So looking at iconic sites, looking at places where people go to, is something that is prudent to do in any policing area, particularly South Cambridge. It's one of those things that I know is important to do to ensure public safety is paramount.
I know, for example, it came up a few months ago, and I'm sure you've come across it in your short time with us, the King's Parade area alongside King's College. That was, I think, identified as a potential, you probably won't thank me for using the word danger zone, but more the public could be at more at risk there than they might be in other parts of the city, for example.
It's very difficult to say which area is the most vulnerable, but if you were going to look at it in, if you like, steady state time, where you've got time to think about where you would be more sensible to put police presence or have tactics there, or even, mitigation for attacks of any sort, then you would look at areas like the area in front.
It seems over the time that I've been reporting on the news around Cambridge that there's ever such slightly subtle shifts in what's happening. For example, county lines is so often in the news now, and you don't have to go back too many years when that wasn't really in the news as it is now. And I think you've also made some arrests there over the past few days.
Yes, it's obviously a developing area of understanding across organised criminality, county lines, and how that happens, that goes, across the country. And how we tackle it is really important. So we've seen not only something like county lines shift the way we police, which is a good thing, because we essentially must be ahead of the game to protect the public and also prevent crime in the future. But also we can think about crime types or tools that are used to commit crime, such as cyber and cyber-enabled crime.
Right,
We also must be alive to the fact that we need to be ahead of the game to tackle that too.
It's interesting, isn't it? I'm just thinking, because you go back, say, 25 years, and there would be thefts from cars all over the place, the warnings, and I'm sure you'd stand by these to lock valuables in the boot before you wander off anywhere. But for a while, the car security systems seem to solve all of that. But now, of course, with technology being as it is, people are able to clone keys, and that creates another issue all over again.
Yeah, the cloning of keys on prestigious cars, if you will, is something that does affect a number of London communities in areas of affluence, really.
Mm.
I'm not sure if that actually affects Cambridgeshire to the extent that I've seen it in London. However, obviously, there are tactics that are being developed to ensure that we can counter that too. Policing, I think, for the first time in my 27-year service, is really running at a pace to be ahead of the game in many, many areas, which is so positive for UK policing.
Yeah, it just does feel like almost like a giant game of chess at times, where you have to be, you know, two or three moves ahead of the crooks.
Well, it's like playing chess, and at the same time playing draughts.
Yes.
You have to be strategically minded and ahead of the game, but you also need to be able to move fast and dynamically. So, and I think I'm very proud of being a police officer within the United Kingdom, because I think on the international landscape, we do it so well. And I think that can be often forgotten.
Mm. At a local level, you'll be familiar, of course, with plans to move the main police station out of Cambridge. From a policing point of view, how do you feel about that, and what's the ideal setup, if you like, for the police in Cambridgeshire to have their presence?
I think any estate move comes with change and nervousness, particularly from the community's point of view, who have been used to accessing their police services from a particular area. It's really important that we get the messaging right, and that we understand that we're not taking away the service, but we're shifting it.
Because it feels at the moment it's more of a political decision than a practical one.
I think the practicalities are behind it. You always will have rationale that supports operational policing, even if there is the good sense in political terms to look at estates. Because, you know, we have to be accountable to the public we serve, and we have to be efficient. As long as we don't take that service away, and that's not happening. It's moving, and also I think it's essential we look at the way we allow the public to contact us.
So I'm thinking, after a busy day's policing, be that behind a desk or perhaps out in the field from time to time as well, I'm wondering how you kick back at the end of the day. Is it line of duty on the television or something else, perhaps?
I'm not a big television watcher. I do enjoy walking and running, and I practice my skills at mothering an 18-year-old son. I don't particularly think I'm very good at it. I think I'm a novice, but even after 18 years. So my life at home is very much around, I like to be outdoors, to be honest, not a great fan of watching television, although I do watch some television.
And it has to be said, on recent form, police officers out running, they normally seem to come back with a crook at the end of the exercise. A couple of your colleagues during the past few days have managed to apprehend people whilst off duty.
I was impressed. I spoke to John, the superintendent, the other day, and I said that is hugely impressive, because you know, you're running, you're halfway into a run, and you continue to run and apprehend offenders. So and also be able to be diligent in who you're identifying as offenders. Yeah, so it was a top piece of work.
I guess it's like a journalist, really. You never kind of switch off completely, even though you have a good attempt at it.
That's a way of life for me. If you don't enjoy policing, then you don't appreciate that you can't switch off because you have a duty of care 24/7, then perhaps it's not the profession for you. But for me, it's a joy to be able to say that I don't switch off. It might sound slightly odd, but I do enjoy thinking about policing and being part of policing.
Yeah, I know the feeling, unfortunately. Deputy Chief Constable, thanks very much for speaking to us.
Thank you so much for talking to me today as well, Julian.
Cambridge 105 Radio.